Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Lord, good morning. How's everyone? Listen, you may not know this, maybe you do, but I'm going to tell you some news. You are not a machine. I know. For some of you, Michael's, this is news to him. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know you're not a machine? Now, it's interesting that we've just told each other we're not machines, but how many know that we often behave like machines? Sometimes we even brag that we're like a machine. Has anybody ever done that?
Not that I'm
going to
admit.
Not what? Not that you're going to admit. Maybe somebody said to you, man, you're like a machine. I've taken pride in that. I have. I'll be honest, you know, I'm a machine. See, what machines do, we produce more, we do more, we achieve more, we stay connected more, we keep pushing, we keep grinding. And then we're in the series and we wonder why our soul and our body is overwhelmed. Interesting enough, my daughter was not, she stayed out last night, like at a friend's, and it's so funny because she had no clue where I'm going, but she walks through the door this morning. I can hear her. She's just always chipper. Hello, hello. And she walks outside and she goes, I just lost the sentence. Rise and grind. Have you ever heard that sentence? Raise your hand if you've ever heard it. The younger generation is probably here. Rise and grind. It means rise instead of rise and shine, rise and let's get to work. Let's get moving. She probably doesn't even know that. She probably heard that and thought, that sounds fun, rise and grind. Maybe she does. We're in this series right now, if you could put up that first slide, the overload. And again, I love that because that to me is a depiction of how I sometimes feel. We're talking about this idea, if you look, it says, when your life is full, how many have full lives? But your soul can feel empty. Your soul can feel like just complete. It's either empty or it can feel like it has no room. And it's interesting that we can say we feel like machines, and I want to talk about this. We're going through what it means to be overloaded. The first slide there, if you could put it up, I want to give you a definition. Overload happens when what we carry exceeds our capacity for too long. Now, I want to make some distinctions here. Overload doesn't mean that we don't go through busy seasons. How many know that? Before I forget, I want to say this. Michelle and Josh are in a very busy season right now. If you didn't see my post, they could really use some love. You even talked about showing up. Their baby, Bryson, they have a new baby. They were in the hospital for 3 days. They're trying to find out why the baby's not gaining weight. In the hospital, the baby started to gain a little bit of weight, but had this cough as well. So you can imagine, they move next week. Josh is trying to finish the house. They still have to pack. They just got back from the hospital. They're still not sure why the baby's not gaining weight. And now she has a throat infection. How many know that's a family that could use some love, right? Now, that is overload in a season. And if they did that over and over and over again, that would be burnout. But we all go through overload. We go through busy times. I don't want you to think that this series is talking about going through busy times. Because then, you know, young people might start going, well, I can't do the chores because I don't want to overload. My kids use that, Caleb. We're not talking about that. We all go through busy days, 14-hour work days. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something that happens when we care what we carry exceeds our capacity for too long. Exceeds our capacity for too long. We looked at this last week. We talked about this jar of clay. This is not clay, but it represents clay. But this is a jar of clay. I want you to, before we even do a quick overview or review, I want you to turn to Genesis for a second. We should start probably not counting the ones that we do in Genesis. We should start trying to find services that we don't start in Genesis. But Genesis carries everything. Genesis 2, verse 7. It says this. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Just one more time. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living being. It's interesting that there's a word throughout Genesis 1. It's bara, which it means that God created. And it really falls under God spoke and things were created. But I think it's just such a telltale sign of how much God loves us when he uses this word formed. I'm not even going to try to say it, but it's not bara. The word formed means to shape, mold, or fashion like a potter. He didn't just speak us into existence, man be. He literally takes a little bit of the dust of the ground. This is just dirt. He takes some of this, and it's like he's the potter, and he forms us with love. Anybody do pottery in here? Anybody ever do pottery? You do pottery. How many just learned something new about Claude and Elaine? Woo! One time, I'm not sure that means doing pottery, but anyway, I took a pottery class in grade 9, loved pottery, but how many know that when you're doing pottery, even that one class would teach you steady hands, you gotta like, this is something you design, it's out of love. So you can picture God getting in the ground, taking dust after he's created all this and going, man, I'm gonna love man so much, like I'm taking my time with this. He takes the dust out of the ground. And dust, by the way, is literally just clay. But I think it's interesting that a clay pot, this is what clay makes, dust of the ground makes. And I think there are two things that we need to understand. He didn't make us indestructible. He didn't make us so we would never break. He actually takes something that is very breakable. Have you ever played with clay or just ground that's hard? You could crumple it up. You go into a field and grab dirt. You just break it up. That's what you and I are made out of. Our bones break. Our bodies break. Sometimes they break down. We are fragile people. It's so easy to think that we could have one moment in life. By the way, this does not rule you out. I don't even know how this is going to go. But it's super easy. It's super easy to have things in our life break apart. What I want to talk about this week and next week and maybe the third week, it's all part of this series, but what I want to begin to talk about is today, things that are coming at us that maybe we've believed. And I really want young people to hear this, and I hope they listen, and I'll repeat it next week, because I told you in 2017, I had a breakdown, but I have now become aware since 2017, my thoughts have reshaped. I rethink things. It could be that I'm 52, I'm not retired yet, I'm not thinking about retirement normally. But I am thinking that the pace of life is not what God created for us. I want to ask you a question. You know, when they went to the temple and they taught, they would often be dialogue. Why are you here on this planet? Is it to rise and grind? It's rise and shine, but I really, we're going to say things like, yeah, no, I know that, but then I want you to back up, and I hope some of you, I'll put the questions up in a minute, I hope some of you looked at your container and started to think, what's in this container? But when I bring it all back, I think, why am I here? Now, I know it's to do the Lord's will, and I know it's to honor him and please him. But let's just talk natural for a second. We are people formed out of clay. Why are we here? What are some of the components? Let's talk for a second. What are some of the components of life that make this meaningful? Community. Thank you.
Family.
Love. Absolutely. Good answer. Work. Absolutely. That's part of it. Anything else? Purpose? Marriage? Not good for man to be alone? Think back in community in the old, you know, I often think back, or camping brings this to mind, people sitting around a campfire and relationship, community, sharing back and forth. I was devastated the one time I went camping and we were walking around. Camping for me is when I disconnect. And as I was walking around the bend, you know, those small areas where all the tents are, I saw this family of about 8 or 9 all around a campfire, all with their phones and their face down. I want to talk about the goal in my life right now seems to be, I want to get back to rhythms that bring us closer to God. Anybody else? So we have, just to finish this off, we are made of clay, but you know what I love? It says, he breathed life into us. I'll read it again, though. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It's interesting that they say in the Jewish wording that breath of life is actually plural. And Jewish understanding is that when they made it plural, it's because they understood that this person would come alive physically and he would come alive spiritually. This breath of life, so he forms man. And then you think about something intimate. You think of like kissing or mouth to mouth when you have resuscitation. Like that's an intimate thing. And he breathes life and man becomes a living being. That dust becomes a being. And that breath gives him spiritual life. And then it says, well, I would say that we both, from the dust and the breath, we become still earth, but still spiritual, still clay, but still spiritual. We talked last week, and I'll maybe, Rod, if you wouldn't mind moving just that broken pot. We looked at the fact that using this, you can take that one down too, thank you. I want to go back to, actually, Hannah, if you could find that slide that shows the four things, capacity, meaning. We looked at this framework, and I'm going to come back to this often. We have this overload framework, and I want you to start thinking as I speak where this falls into. But we have the load. What are you carrying? We have meaning. That's where I want to start talking about today. What is it you believe? Pace. How fast is that capacity being filled up? And then support, who is carrying this with you? Young people, I want to shout to you with everything inside of me. If you can, young meaning, you know, you can put anything into that age, but some of you are retired, living a different pace. But young people, millennials, man, if you can get this and figure this out, your life will be forever different. I promise you, you will live a pace that will make your friends jealous. I promise you, you will have a marriage where your friends look at it and they go, how are you so connected? You will have relationships with your own friends where you will have a brotherhood, a sisterhood that makes people jealous, because you're going to tap into a rhythm that God had designed for you. Put up for me, Matthew. We read it the other day. We read it out of the King James, but I have it up here today. This is what I desire. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I always want you to remember when we're reading this, this is not absence of work. Actually, the Bible says work 6 days and the seventh day rest. It's not absence of work. Walk with me and work with me. There it is. Watch how I do it. Learn. If the Message Bible has one thing that I love the most, it's this phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So real quickly, we talked last week. This is just the review capacity. We talked about the fact you're going to have things in life. This is just normal. This is your capacity to hold stress. That's never going away. Things like this are going to happen. You're going to have work. You're going to have some, you know, I walked in today. People didn't sleep. You know, some people got 4 hours sleep. Welcome to life, right? Right? That's just normal. Your kid gets sick. You don't sleep. And we do. We have this stress. But we talked about something else. Anybody remember what we talked about? Nope, that was, thank you for remembering Erica's sermon and not mine. Appreciate that. Thank you. Erica, where are you? That was actually a great sermon. I want to get her her jars up somewhere because that fits in so well. We talked about the fact that since, I think it was 1985, we have now 5 times more amount of information coming at us. We talked about on a given day, you will watch, not watch, but you will have 74 gigabytes of information coming your way. That is equivalent to 16 movies. We talked about the fact that nothing shuts down anymore. Emails don't shut down. Internet does not shut down. News 24 hours a day. You get notifications all the time. We do not shut down. What are you not? You are not a machine. But we live in a world right now that treats us like machines. And we've come to believe that we need to be a machine to be happy. And this is what I want to talk about today. You're not a machine. Your brain was never, ever designed to have that ability to take that much information all the time. So what's happening is we are on a regular basis, we have so much coming in that our capacity to hold stress is getting closer and closer to the top. Now, here's something I did not know. Your body has the ability or its ability, it shouldn't be, but when you rest at a place like this all the time, your body begins to think that's normal. It's not, but it's neuroscience. Your body begins to go, oh, we run at this capacity all the time. This, therefore, must be our normal. It's interesting when we get into pace, we're going to talk about Sabbath and rest. But I was watching a gentleman who's writing a book right now somewhat on these things, and he shared something that I've wrestled with. I've been taking steps to change. My wife would know on vacation. She would be able to identify this. But he said this in his podcast. He said, I realized recently that I couldn't read books anymore. He says, it's not that I can't read, because he's writing a book. He said, I would sit down to read a book and I would get a paragraph in and I would grab my phone. I'd get a paragraph in and my mind would go somewhere. I would start thinking about what I need to do. I would start listing things that I need to build or create. He said, I lost the capacity to read a book because I lost the capacity to rest. You know why that is? Because this gentleman ran for so long at this state. And he started not knowing, but his body was telling him that's normal. So when he would go to rest, his body would say, whoa, 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 this is not normal. We're not rest like this. What are you doing? So people will often say, I feel so anxious and I don't know why. Why? Because you've ran this long for so long this way that your body is in perpetual anxiousness, perpetual unrest. I hear people that say, I can't stop, man. I just love to work. Maybe, but I would probably guess that some people love to work because they don't know how to rest. I love to do projects. I love to do projects. For the last 2 days, I probably worked 12 hours a day. But yesterday at the end of that, I got into my hammock and I rested. And last week, 2 weeks ago, I gave you a question, what are you going to stop? What I stopped was I've cut my scrolling and news back to about 25%. I've cut out 75%. So yesterday when I got in the hammock and I went, I went, no. And I forced myself to listen to the birds and the wind and the laughter of children. I could hear a couple doors down, I could hear kids playing. I thought, I wonder if I would have heard that if I was scrolling. I'm convinced that if we want to, let's turn to Romans for a second. You know, this is something we quote, if you've been in church long enough, Romans 2, we say it. Right, Romans 2, what are we gonna say? Romans 12, 2. Romans 12, how many can quote this? Come on, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And we often will take this and we'll look at the big real things, right? Hey man, don't do drugs. Don't become an alcoholic. We'll go through this list, but it's interesting that we don't really think about this when it comes to the habits that Jesus taught us. We don't follow his nature and rhythms of grace and habits. And we end up in a mess, and yet it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. The patterns, we all have patterns and habits. How many of you have a habit that you know of? A good habit. Let's start there. Let's start with good habits. Name a habit that you know you have. A good habit that you have. Something you do every day. Wake up and go to the gym. He's got a rhythm. How many put your right sock on first every day? You're trying to think, but every one of you puts your left or right sock on first. It's a habit. Right people? Any ref, right? I'm a right person. Left. Well, I'm not saying you have to put your socks on right away, but she makes coffee. Make coffee. Habit, right? How many have a coffee? First thing? I walk upstairs, click. How many know that's a habit? Right? Brushing your teeth a certain way, putting the toilet paper on a certain way. Did you know we all have habits? Ding. Ding. 150 times a day now. Ding. We've been trained to have a habit. What I want to do in this series, and I want to get to the point where we train ourselves out of a worldly concept and mindset and get back to what we should be. This says, Passion Translation, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Did you get that? A total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will, and you will live a beautiful, satisfying life in his eyes. Put up the slide for me that starts with people want a different life. This is what I was going with before I read this. I'm convinced of this. People want a different life, but without different habits. But our habits are already preaching a sermon to our souls. You cannot build a peaceful life with hurried habits. Read the last one. You cannot build a peaceful life with hurried habits. And one more slide, and then we're gonna get into a couple stories. The body, put that one on. This, if you remember one thing, take a picture of this. The body reveals what the soul is trying to ignore. The other day I sat Krista down, She needed to be talking to. I sat her down because I needed to be talking to. But I sat her down, I'll be vulnerable with you. And I said, hon, I said, I don't want to worry you, but I'm trying to take an active approach But a little bit of that 2017 feeling, I'm feeling a little of that anxiety right now. And that tells me, because I felt it several times before, that tells me I have my guard down and I'm letting things slide that I know I should be doing. So what did I do? I took 4 days to rest. No, I actually worked. I worked 12-hour days, a couple days. I had to step back and begin to take notice of what I was letting in that was beginning to affect me. I say that because my body was beginning to reveal what my soul was trying to ignore. And in this case, it wasn't overwork physically. I usually get it when I have too many things coming at me. I've got answers. I'm answering things for the church. I'm answering things. My daughter's getting married in September. We're doing a little bit of the fixing up of the house, Caleb's business. And I was just bombarded by things. And my soul was saying, slow down. And I wasn't listening. So then your soul will defer to your body and say, body, you try to get a hold of him. Because I'm not getting a hold of this guy. And your body will begin to tell you. And if we're not wise and we refuse to have different habits, your body will get to a point like mine did in 2017, and it will break. Doesn't mean you're broken. It means you've hit a wall and you need to stop. Time that I have left, I'm going to have to hit this next week. I want to read a few things. Some of these things will be so foreign to you. This is today. Today's generation hears this. Be the best version of yourself. Live your best life. Unlock your full potential. Level up. You can have it all. You deserve more. Never settle. Dream bigger. Become extraordinary. You are made for more. Then they hear things like rise and grind, sleep when you're dead. Hustle harder, no days off. Busy means successful. If you want it badly enough, work harder. Your future self will thank you. Winners never quit. Grind now, enjoy later. And then they get these messages. You are what you accomplish. Success is the goal. Make something of yourself. Don't waste your life. Be unforgettable. Leave your mark. Build your empire. I'm exhausted already. Anybody else? This is the social media. Live the dream. Manifest your reality. Curate your life. Live your truth. Follow your heart. I love that last one. Follow your heart. What do you mean follow my heart? I have to do all these other things first. Why do I say those? It would seem like, because at times we're like, hey, let's do something extraordinary for God. Yes, we all want to. But I found myself falling into rhythms back in the day because I believed these things were important for me to be important. Did you catch that? It wasn't always, and in 2017, when I had that crash, it was the time where I stepped back and I went, what makes me important and valuable? Because even in the Christian realm, I began to realize that I was buying the lie that I needed to do more, be more, build bigger. Bigger churches, bigger conferences. I was getting trained by people that truly love me of how I can make the conferences bigger and better. And I know at the heart of it, it would seem like, you know what, it's for the young people, but I want to tell you at the heart of most things is achievement, is bigger. There is something for some reason inside of all of us that at times we need to do more and be more, and we need to believe all these lies that if we do these things, we're gonna feel really good about ourselves. We got influencers online that every day they're telling you how to live that perfect life. And they're taking pictures of that perfect moment. We talked about this last week. It's their success reel. The problem is that depression is increasing. This is why I study it, because everything is increasing because we're getting away from the rhythms and the truth of God. Because young people, you know what success is? Having three people around a campfire and you get to share your heart because they know you. I'm convinced that our young people, that's why I want them to hear this story, they are being bombarded with what they need to do. And the problem is, they're, you know, you look at life today, $400,000-$500,000 homes. And what it's going to do is it's going to put them in a place where they're going to have to rise and grind all day. And some of them, I already know, are working two jobs, both of them, to try to make ends meet. Well, turn to your Bibles, and I want to show you two stories. Turn to Exodus 1. In Exodus 1, we'll start at verse 7. Long story short, this is Joseph, where Joseph, he's become the second in command already. They've been living for a long time, and it says that they've multiplied. The children of Israel have multiplied, but I want you to see something in verse 7. Exodus 1, it says, "But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them." And I would like to argue that the principles that they had back then are still some of the principles we're supposed to have today. But it says that they multiplied. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more mighty are mightier than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply it." They multiply, and it happens in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us. So go up out of the land. Just stop for a second and realize that this king is realizing that they are becoming powerful. So in his mind, how do I defeat these people? "Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh," because Pharaoh had dreams, by the way, and Pharaoh wanted things done, and he wanted more. He wanted bigger and better and all those things that I just read. So he put taskmasters over them, and they built the cities of Phithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, in all manner of service in the field. All the service in which they made them serve was rigor. Why do I read that? You have a king here who realized that they are becoming too powerful. So his idea was, "I have dreams. I will force them to work so hard that they burn out." I find it very interesting that we've been taught for us to have major dreams, and now we work so hard, we burn out. Is it possible that it's the enemy's plan all along for us to burn out? John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life abundantly. I just think it's interesting that his plan was to wear them out because of dreams. They were his dreams. So in essence, what we've done is we've traded, and this happened several many years ago, where we had hard taskmasters even in life. We actually have freedom now, man. We really do have freedom. You could quit your job and start a business, and chances are you could be successful. You could do online things. Like, we have freedom. But isn't it interesting that we traded one taskmaster for an internal taskmaster? I must be better. I must do more. I must live the dream. And it's interesting, in trying to find a way to live the dream, we often negate the things that are really the dream. Our family. Our kids. I'll never forget the day that I walked into Tim Hortons, because I was excited about ministry and I was doing as much as I could. And I remember Kayla was born, probably the girls at this point. I remember walking to go counsel somebody. And it's one of those moments that's not the audible voice of the Lord, but it was that, "Oh, I know this is the Lord." Because all of a sudden in my spirit, I heard, if you continue doing what you're doing, Somebody will be sitting with your son one day counseling him. Even in the midst of doing good things for the Lord, I was in an unhealthy rhythm because I was looking at other people. It was more important than sitting with my son. I'm going to just, by the way, there's so many things I need to learn, but I know there's a few things that I learned from my parents. And one of those things is family dinner. Caleb, how many family dinners did we have that were completely off the wall awkward? All of them. We had just built this thing where we ate together every dinner and they were able to ask whatever they wanted to. And I could tell you, because it was 2-1, right? 2 girls to 1. And I could tell you so many times that something will come up about SEX and Caleb would pick up his plate, I'm done. And he would walk to his bedroom. But I'll tell you, we've had some amazing conversations. Sometimes we're trading and overloading ourselves. We're trading for the very thing that the dream is. Being with our kids, being with our family, being with our loved ones, going for a walk, hearing their hearts. One of the things we're battling right now in our house that we're trying to say, when we talk to each other, we've got to put our phones down. I'm not looking at anybody. We all have our things, don't we? But there's a rhythm that I want to get back to that's the rhythms of grace. In a few weeks, I'm going to challenge us. I'm going to start talking about it little by little. But I have a plan. I want to challenge us as a church to take a Sabbath. We don't even know what a Sabbath is anymore. When's the last time you took a 24-hour period of rest? Rest. Not absence of fun, not absence of doing, but an actual 24 hours of rest. I started this several years back after I went through what I did. I fight it. Remember, we have to fight to maintain. It is something that we're going to have to fight for. But I'll tell you, even on a Sunday, when I'm done church and I go home, even though for me it's only 12 hours, it's 10 hours, those 10 hours become restful and long and beautiful. I'm building us because I would love for a church to try to see what it would be like if, as a church, we took 24 hours of rest all together on the same day and then had a conversation about it, planting seeds. I'm going to have to end with this today. This says the body reveals what the soul is trying to ignore. The body reveals what the soul is trying to ignore. For some of you, and I asked you, put those three questions up if you could. I asked last week. I want to say this as I close. If we take this sermon and we just listen to it, you will find yourself the same place, because I've done that. I've read a book, I've studied this stuff and ignored all of it, although I had good intentions and found 2 years later, I'm in the same place. But if you really want to find rest, the rest that God has for you, a different rhythm, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, we need to take time and actually do this. Because sometimes we will identify, why is this in my life? Is this necessary right now? Do I need to do this now? Or can I do this later? Sometimes we find ourselves, we're working 12, 13-hour days, 7 days a week for 2 years so we can get a toy or an upgrade or a new car. I want to ask you, is that needed? Because sometimes that's what we find ourselves doing. Or should we be stepping back, spending time with the family? And of course, the first rhythm we talked about, I hope you begin to get a rhythm where you get up, make your coffee, and then sit with the Lord. Because if we can't start our morning by stopping, we will not stop the rest of the day. That's what Erica's analogy was so great, those rocks. If you missed it, she showed you, she took the same amount of both sand, stone, and rocks, and she put the first one in out of order. The rocks should be in first, but she put the rocks in last, and that thing was overflowing because it didn't fit. But isn't it cool that when you put the main things being the main things first in your life, and then she put the other main things, but the gravel, they're not as important, and the sand was just the peripheral, it all fit into a day. See, those are the habits we're talking about, putting the main things. So I want to ask you, what are you carrying? Why are you carrying it? Is it mine to carry? And then I asked you, what will you stop? Did anybody stop something last week for the last 2 weeks? Did anybody? One person, me, two, three, kind of. So I want you this week, this is your assignment. What is something you can stop so there's something you can start to create a new habit? For some of you, take your Bible outside. Sit in nature. Listen to the birds and read a scripture. Did you know that psychologically and neurologically that can change your day? I'll answer yes. What can you stop so you can start something? Please stand. I'm crazy enough to believe that we can actually have different rhythms in our life. Let me stop. I'm crazy enough to believe that I can have a different rhythm in my life. One of the rhythms that I wanted, I remember Andy Stanley saying, my goal as parenting is that one day my kids would want to actually hang around with me. And I took that and we made that a priority. And I'm so grateful Our kids get upset when we vacation without them. They want to be there. I love when my son, I'm picking on him because he's here. He was on vacation and he texted me when he was there. He's like, Dad, you would love this place. And he showed me around and I'm like, Bud, your friend's waiting. And he's like, yeah, I know. I just wanted to show you. I love that. Because that was a priority and a rhythm that we wanted in our life. What is something that you want? Because God has rhythms for us that are full of grace and full of life and full of joy, life-giving moments. Like I said, hearing kids in the background while I laid on the hammock, I could not believe how life-giving that was. So Lord, I ask you to help us. Help us to not conform to the patterns of this world. Help us, Lord, especially young people in this room, to not believe what the world is telling them that's going to make them happy and successful. Lord, I pray that they would dive into you and they begin to find out what truth is and what really life is. Lord, for us that are getting older, I pray that even in our days of as we get older, that we would not fill it so we have no time to rest, no time to be with family, no time to be with you. Help us, Lord, to find these rhythms of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.